So I want to begin by congratulating Lisa and Robert on the birth of their daughter, Stella. And in case you haven't figured it out yet, when you have three, it means you can't play man-to-man defense anymore, okay? You got to switch to a zone. And then everyone that you get beyond that, you just play a looser and looser zone. Like you don't want to give up the big play, okay? And certainly on behalf of the faith community of St. Joseph, I want to thank you for your willingness to cooperate with God in creating a new life. I mean, quite frankly, that's something that fewer couples are choosing to do. And I want to thank you for being willing to share that life with all of us by bringing Stella here for baptism. Because, you know, Lisa and Robert, speaking from the perspective of being a father of four, you know, by agreeing to help create Stella and then have her baptized, you are embarking on a journey which on some days will bring you great joy, and on other days will bring you great challenges. I think particularly when you consider where the world happens to be at present. But I want you to know that you're not alone. I mean, certainly you have the support of all of us. I mean, we just promised that at the beginning of Mass. But more importantly, you have the support of that same Holy Spirit that really empowered those early Christians that we just heard about in the book of Acts. I mean, it really helped them overcome some pretty significant obstacles. Because certainly in today's first reading from the fifth chapter of Acts, it's pretty obvious that the Holy Spirit is present and active. I mean, miracles are occurring left and to the right. I mean, people are being healed, evil spirits are being driven out. I mean, Peter was so full of the Holy Spirit that if his shadow touched you, you were healed. And after hearing all of this, we might be tempted to idealize the early church and kind of look back and sort of long for the good old days. But I think it's important for us to understand that from the very beginning, those early disciples of Jesus faced pressures from those outside of the church who were opposed to the gospel message. And the gospel message is that Jesus died on the cross for our sins and rose from the dead on the third day to restore our relationship with the Father. I mean, if you read the entire book of Acts, it's full of examples of the early church being threatened by a world that really didn't want to listen to what they had to say. I mean, we're going to hear a number of these stories in the weeks to come as we go through the readings for the Easter season. I mean, next week, on the third Sunday of Easter, we're going to listen to the end of the fifth chapter of Acts in its description of the apostles being arrested, threatened with death, and then beaten, not because they were performing miracles, it's because they wouldn't stop sharing the gospel message. On the fourth Sunday of Easter, in the 13th chapter of Acts, we will hear a description of Paul and Barnabas suffering, the scriptures say, violent abuse, because they wouldn't stop sharing the gospel message. On the fifth Sunday of Easter, in the 14th chapter of Acts, it's going to sound like Paul and Barnabas were having real success in Antioch. And they were. But the only reason they were in Antioch was because they had been driven out of Iconium by being attacked and beaten for what they had to say. And finally, on the last Sunday of Easter, the seventh Sunday, we're going to get the seventh chapter of Acts and its description of the martyrdom of Saint Stephen. And not only was Saint Stephen our first martyr, he was also our first deacon. So that gives me pause for thought. And he was stoned to death. And why? Because he was preaching the gospel message. You know, this evidence of persecution is not limited to the book of Acts. When St. John had his vision and he wrote the book of Revelation, he was on the Isle of Patmos, which is a Roman penal colony. He was in prison. And he was there, he tells us, because I proclaimed God's word and gave testimony to Jesus. I mean, look at today's gospel. I mean, the disciples are hiding in the upper room behind a locked door for fear of their lives because of what Jesus had done and what Jesus had said. So from the very beginning, the existence of the church has been threatened by a world that did not want to hear what God had to say. And as true as this was in the first century, it's still true today. I mean, like the early disciples, we live in a world where if we choose to speak boldly and act like disciples of Jesus, act like Christians, bad things can happen. The martyrdom is not found in the history books. It's found in the evening news. I mean, a week ago today, hundreds of people died in Sri Lanka because they chose to go to church on Easter Sunday. You know, the day when we Christians acknowledge our belief in the gospel message. And persecution, well, that's not just found on the other side of the world. That's found in our own backyard. I mean, Catholic adoption agencies all over the United States have had to close because they refuse to accept the world's definition of marriage, which is at odds with God's definition of marriage. So we live in a world that is becoming increasingly hostile to the gospel message and God's way of thinking. To be honest with you, I think those early Christians would be very much at home in the 21st century, because we face many of the same threats that they faced. So what's going to be our response? I mean, do we live in fear like the disciples in the gospel? Do we hide our Christianity to avoid conflict? Or do we live like those disciples in today's first reading from the book of Acts, who trusted in the power of the Holy Spirit and the support of one another to try and live each day as a disciple of Jesus? I mean, they accepted that living openly as a Christian might not only make them unpopular, but could lead to bodily harm. All of us who call ourselves Christian are held to that standard. We are all called to live each day boldly as a disciple of Christ. So with that being said, I will leave you with one final thought. Some time ago, I was driving by a Protestant church. You know how the Protestant churches, they always have the billboard out front, sort of giving the theme of whatever the sermon's going to be that week? Well, this particular billboard posed the following question. If we were put on trial for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence for us to be convicted? Something to think about.